The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For the Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking with you." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
I love the interaction between Jesus and this woman at the well. It's a model of our own relationship with Jesus. Starts out with a question, request, "Give me a drink." It could have ended there. She could have just given him a drink and no story. But then she responds, "Who are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" And it could have ended there. But it didn't. It went on and on and on. There's an interaction between the two. We see this relationship develop. We see this bond develop between Jesus and this woman. It starts off very light. We're talking about surface things. But it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. At any time, she could have shoved Jesus away, kept him at arm's length. But she didn't. She engaged. And he engaged with her. And so we have this light banter. Where the heck is your bucket? How are you going to get any water? We hear about the history of Jews and Samaritans. She hears about her own history, things that she has done. And she's not rejected by Jesus. He stays there and continues to interact and talk with her. Questions arise. Answers come forth. Confusion begins, and then enlightenment. It ends with revelation. I am he. I am the Christ. And this changes her whole world. This simple encounter changes everything for her. From this moment on, she will be different. Aware that every action is significant. She goes and proclaims that he is the one. She invites others to get to know him. And I love those last lines. We no longer believe because you told us, but we believe because we too now have a relationship with this man. We believe because we too have interacted with him, and we too are changed. Now, last week I shared with you that we've got a push of examining our own discipleship, how we are exercising it, living it out. How we can foster not only our own, but the discipleship of others around us. How we can proclaim the presence of the Lord. And this week, I've invited a couple of parishioners to share their story with us about their interaction with the Lord through all of you, how it has changed them, and what it means to them. So, Thu Kru, come on down.
Hello. My name is Jim Thuin. My wife, Tennis, and I volunteered to speak at Mass this week to share the perspective of a member of Corpus Christi. We were both raised Catholic and have been members of this community since 2015. I attended Mass with my father and brothers growing up, and my mother converted later in life. Three generations of our family attend Mass here. We attend the 9:45 service and sit by the choir. My family has had many positive experiences at Corpus Christi. We have been involved in several ministries. My two sons, Parker and Ryder, attended religious education and both received First Holy Communion from Father Chris. During COVID, they became involved in the youth ministry, doing fun things like origami, guided meditation, kids' Mass, positive life skills, and watching movies. Corpus Christi did a great job keeping us connected during a difficult time, especially Miss Stacy leading the youth activities. Parker and Ryder also served as lectors and did several readings when Mass went online during COVID. More recently, you might see them as altar servers at the 9:45 Mass. They go to a small school and have appreciated the opportunity to meet new friends through Corpus Christi. My wife, Tanis, was a teacher for religious education and for summer Bible school. She taught the first grade for a number of years. And as an adult, she joined the Becoming Catholic ministry and completed the sacrament of confirmation. That's where we were first introduced and exposed to Deacon Mark and all his wisdom. And then, of course, there's Father Chris. We all love Father Chris. We appreciate his dedication and openness. He's always willing to help. Just last month, I called Father Chris on a Friday morning, and he rearranged his schedule, came out to our house, and delivered last rites to my mother, who is presently in hospice. To me, that single act of service represents the community we have here to support us as members of Corpus Christi.
Hi, I'm Tanis Thuin. For me, church is all about family. Growing up, I attended Mass with my grandmother, my mother, and my sister. And now this is something our family does together. We take pride in attending church together to share in this experience. Recently, we started the Grief and Loss Group to support those who have lost a loved one here at Corpus Christi. We create a safe place for individuals to process their feelings and emotions and connect with others who are experiencing the same. This group has grown in size and now meets twice a month, which there's a schedule in the bulletin. We've received a lot of positive feedback from those who participate. My sister Tiffany also helps with the Grief and Loss Group. Her work with this group motivated her to start a purse ministry, handing out gently used purses filled with hygiene supplies for the homeless. There are lots of fun activities we have joined in this community. Our family has participated in holiday celebrations. We have attended midnight mass. We have walked the Stations of the Cross on the outer loop. We have played bingo. We have shared meals with other parishioners. We've even danced over in the community center. We have made many memories and have met many nice people. In conclusion, I will leave you with the three words that we think best describe Corpus Christi. Inviting, you will always feel welcome. Accepting, you will be accepted no matter the circumstances. And caring, this community is always here to help you. We have found a home here at Corpus Christi and hope you choose to explore all that this community has to offer. There will be a ministry fair in the community center after each Mass next weekend. The details can also be found in the bulletin. This is a way for you to learn about the opportunities to join in. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Isn't it fun to talk in front of these people? Just a few stories of the significance of this parish in a couple's lives, and I'm sure that we all have our own stories. One of mine is, my mother loved this parish. I've been to a number of different parishes, been to assigned to a number of different parishes. She claimed this one as home, just because of her interaction with all of you. Not a great interaction, not a whole lot of times, but the few times that she was here and interacted, had dinners and things like that, she fell in love with this place. I have fallen in love with this place. You are a tremendous group of people, and I thank God every day that I am here with you. But it's easy to just rest on our laurels and sit back. God is always calling us to more. And I am sure that you have received a pamphlet, commitment card in the mail. I invite you to fill those out. Mail them in, drop them in the collection basket, but consciously to be aware of this community and how each and every one of us is a part of this community and is called to support this community. You know, on the front, there is the financial commitment. We've talked about our entire discipleship is not just financial, but it is a part of who we are. And I think it's important to consciously decide how we support parish one another. You know, it's one thing, it's like the sacrament of reconciliation. It's one thing to go into your room and tell God, I'm sorry, get up off of our knees and leave the room. We're so good at deceiving and rationalizing, we can pretend that we didn't say we're sorry. We can pretend that God didn't hear us. We can pretend that, well, he didn't really forgive me. And when we rationalize that away, then we don't have to change. But there's something unique about the sacrament of reconciliation, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard to go and voice out loud the things that we're not proud of. But it makes it different. It makes it sacred. Because when we voice out loud, we can't pretend that we didn't say that we're sorry. And when we hear those words of forgiveness back, we can't pretend that we didn't hear them. We can't pretend that we weren't forgiven. And so then the onus is placed on us to decide whether to wallow in our sin or to live the new life of love that God gives us. I'm looking at this in the same light. You know, it's one thing to say, yeah, God, I'm going to do this. It's another thing to write it down. No one's going to hold anybody to it. It's not like I'm going to take you to court if you say, oh, I'm going to donate $3 million every year. But it is for ourselves. We know how we commit. Also, look on the back of the card. The back of the card, place to, what do you need? How can we help you? We are here for you. We are one family. And so please fill that out. Next week is the ministry fair. Lots and lots of different groups, lots of ministries, things to get involved with, groups to minister to us. A way to be a part of groups that will minister to others. I'm asking everybody to reflect again on who we are as disciples, how it is that we can exercise our discipleship, where is God calling us to be? What is he calling us to do? Because he's always speaking to us. Whether we pay attention or not is another story. But he's always calling us to more. And so, my friends, pray, discern, reflect, build up Corpus Christi, build up the body of Christ. My friends, let us stand.